Off the Ball, GAA.
Like, I remember being on the pod with Paddy in year one, and he was just going, it was great for them to be in Dublin, they could go and they could meet and nobody bothering them, and just having them conversations over lunch. Or
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Coygate Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig podcast. Gabby McNamee here with you to look ahead to what is an absolutely crucial couple of matches for the Irish international team as they look to face Poland, both away first in Gdansk on Tuesday and then at home in the Aviva on Saturday in their bid to qualify for next year's World Cup in Brazil. This has been the window that I think since the moment that the games were announced and the general group that we were in was announced, people have been looking forward to, and players themselves have been looking towards, just as Poland would be considered the team that are a little bit closer, I suppose, in style of play and also in level of play to ourselves. Which doesn't guarantee anything at all, as we saw in the last international window. Two brilliant performances, but sadly no points for Ireland, whereas Poland did manage to pick up a point against Netherlands. So while these games were important before, they're now more important than ever. Joining me to look at these two games is Scarlett Heron. Scarlett, how are things?
All good, yeah. Quite enough week with the international break, obviously, but yeah, really excited for these two games. I think, as you said, the team that's probably closest to us in our little group of death that we have ourselves in, so excited to see how we get on.
Yeah, it's hard to know how to feel going into these games, because I think after the last window, despite the results, you know, me, yourself and Karen were talking about it and we were all quite positive. You know, we were disappointed not to get anything from them. But in terms of performances, in terms of, you know, certain players kind of showing up on the big days, like Emily Murphy getting player of the match in both games, there was a lot of positives to take away. But I suppose it's been difficult having that time in between, because now we're like, have we held on to all those positives? You know, are we... Sometimes we can be better going up against the big teams that we, by all accounts, shouldn't really perform against, compared to the ones that maybe we should do as well, the ones that we should probably beat or at least draw against.
Yeah, I suppose the main thing with the playing against the bigger nations is that there's probably not a lot of pressure on the girls. And, you know, you're going out with that underdog attitude, which I think the Irish teams in every code strive under. So yeah, I suppose just getting used to that. Like, it's not that we're not going to be underdogs in this game either. I'd say Poland, or I'd say they're above us in the rankings anyway. But it's going in with an attitude of, okay, we're going to have the ball a bit more in this game. And we spoke about that when we were playing Belgium as well, playing that sort of opposition that are closer to us. And how do we approach that sort of game? It's obviously going to be a different game plan to that against France or Netherlands. But here, I think, like, there's a lot to get after with Poland, another good team. Like, Iwa Pajor is obviously their standout, and like, she's been on fire the last few years for Barcelona. So it's going to be a tough evening for the centre halves and the defenders to keep her quiet. But I think then, like, Poland have a lot of weaknesses that we're able to exploit as well. Like, even when you look at the goals conceded from their two games against like France and Netherlands, obviously they got the draw against the Dutch, but in the French game especially, like, they're weak in wide areas. I think if we can get balls into the box early, they really struggle to deal with it. So I definitely think that's something that Carla's definitely looking at this week.
Yeah, and that is one thing to bear in mind going into these games as well, that while they did get that draw against the Dutch, as you said, they were fairly hammered by the French compared to the performance that we put in. And I watched the highlights to that match back, and I would say definitely we performed a lot better on the night. Now, you know, there's a lot of factors that can come into that, of course, but it is, it does show that there is weaknesses in this side. It does show that there are areas that we can get at. You mentioned Aoife Power there, and I thought it was interesting chatting to Aoife Mannion yesterday at the media day, and she was obviously the player that a lot of the journalists were asking about, just because, you know, she is such a recognizable name. She would win young player. I think she's won like young player of the year before a couple of times and different things, but very, very talented player. And I don't know, was Mannion trying to downplay her significance, but she was kind of saying, you prepare for those sort of players, but sometimes it's the other attackers, it's the people that you don't think about that you kind of need to watch a little bit more. Do you think that is her trying to downplay the impact that Power could have and, I suppose, give the team themselves a little bit of space, or was she being serious about that?
Yeah, I think I remember when the Irish men's teams were playing against Hungary in the first game of the World Cup qualifiers a few months ago, and the players were asked about Szoboszlai and obviously his effect and his long shots, and, you know, will he be like man-marked? And a few journalists were asking questions like that, and the lads that were being interviewed were kind of just like, well, no, we're not really going to focus too much on him. But it's obviously the same sort of idea that Aoife Mannion's putting out there of they don't want to put that sort of emphasis on one player, because you don't want to underestimate the rest of the team either. Like, Poland have a lot of talented players in that squad, and I'd say for Aoife Mannion, it's probably just not wanting to overhype it either, and, you know, not to focus on it too much, because they're obviously aware of her, of Peugeot's talents and the threat that she will bring. But as well, I would doubt that they're focusing on it too much, because I think you can get too like hyper fixated on one player, and then you do disregard, you know, the other talent they have. And I'd say that Poland are well aware of that as well. Like, same with us and maybe the likes of Katie and Denise, when you like, they don't want to be focusing too much on her. You can't just rely on one player. But I think they kind of have been for the last few years in terms of how much goals and sort of goal contributions she's been providing. But no, I think for Aoife Mannion, it's just focusing on the whole team. But I think that's a nice bit of media training done there.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Katie there, and I know I had quite a few messages yesterday evening about her, because I don't know if you saw the pictures from training and a couple of pictures of like the squad had up on Instagram of them going for coffee and, you know, different things that they do before games, and Katie's hand was fairly heavily strapped. It was strapped the last time she played for Arsenal, and then this was almost like close to a cast. Did ask the media manager yesterday when we were out there, and he said he would provide an update. Now, we're recording this on Friday morning, and I know Gary Cronin is up to speak to the media later this afternoon, so I imagine there'll be some sort of update. I'm not sure if, you know, they were trying to keep it hush-hush yesterday. I was like, oh, we'll find out. But yeah, I assume an update will come over the course of the next couple of days, but she seemed to be in full training by all accounts. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's not anything that will affect things next week. We can deal with a hand so long as it's not a leg or anything.
I was going to say, I think Katie would play with no arms. I think she'd be grand. Someone needs to take hands from her, that'll be it.
Yeah, exactly. I think speaking of injuries, though, that probably is something that we should touch on, just because there has been a lot of changes around the squad. One in particular that we just want to give a mention to is Lily Ag, who's had an incredibly tough couple of months, year of it. You know, just coming back from an ACL injury and then having another serious injury. I saw that she had surgery the other day, so we just want to wish her all the best on her recovery and hope that it goes as smoothly as possible for her. And then also Jessie Stapleton dropping out of the squad, and Ava Brennan, who we had talked about in the last podcast. I can imagine for her, incredibly disappointing as well, being such a young player and getting that call up. But it does mean that we get a couple of new players into the squad. So Jamie Finn has been called in, Aiden Clancy and Maria Reynolds as well, which, you know, Maria said it yesterday in the press conference. She was like, kind of fair play to Carlo Ward for, you know, keeping the consistency going with calling players in from the league. Obviously, she had been in training with the squad before the Wales games. Her and Kelly Brady, who was with Athlone at the time. And it is great to see that representation continuing through. And I thought it was really interesting what she was also saying about how Carla had been quite consistent with her in terms of just generally checking in, or if she was over at a match, she'd say, you know, I'll chat to you afterwards, or give her a text beforehand saying best of luck. And I suppose we spent a lot of time on the podcast talking about, you know, why is there not more representation? Why isn't there a training squad? Why isn't there this or that? But it is only right as well to also reflect, I suppose, that side of things and the things behind the scenes that we probably don't see.
100%, yeah. And I think you're right. Like, we probably did a bit of giving out on this podcast.
It's what it's here for, Scarlett. It's our place to veg.
Someone needs to do it. Yeah. But no, you're right. I think it is. It's important to give kudos to Carla for, as Maria said, keeping that consistency and, you know, giving players from the league these chances, and especially during what is two huge games as well, to trust those two, to trust Davian and Maria to come in and, you know, to provide the numbers, I suppose, for the training team, and perhaps to play it to some capacity in the two games. So I think that is great, and, you know, as you said, we're always looking for more players in the League of Ireland to break through, and this is a good opportunity for Maria. I know Avian's been in a few times over the last few years, so it's great for her as well to get back in. So yeah, I think it's brilliant, as you said, the representation, that it is sort of bredding in the next generation, because when you do look at that squad, when we do get a few injuries like we have done now, you're kind of looking, like, I was wondering, obviously you hear rumours of the injuries during the week of like Jesse and obviously Lily Ag and things like that, and even Brennan. So you're looking and you're thinking, you know, who is going to come in, because we maybe don't have the depth that we might have had a few years ago. And that's just what happens, I suppose, with football, of the retirements that we've had. I suppose we're starting to see that, you know, come through now, and that's the most important thing now, that we are bredding in the next generation of players, and it's even better that they're coming from our own league. So I think that's great.
And in terms of the two of them, of players, obviously we've seen a lot of Jamie Finnan in an Irish jersey, so we kind of know what we're getting there. Mm. But what are we getting with Avian and Maria as players in the squad? Like, and the chances of seeing them, we don't know how high or not they are. Probably depend on, I suppose, squad and injuries and yellow cards and all the likes of that. But yeah, if we were to see them on the pitch, what are we getting?
Yeah, I think two really talented players. I've played with both of them. I've played against both of them. So it's one of those where
you had a wry smile there when you said you've played against both of them.
Yeah, no, I think when you're around the league for a few years, you come to know, you know, all the girls, and you nearly know them inside out more than maybe they know themselves. But yeah, no, I think for Avian, like I said, she's been around the squad a few years, but she's a really technically gifted player. You know, she's just that controlling midfielder. So I think technically she'll definitely be up to the standard of that team. Maria even spoke about yesterday saying that, you know, it's the jump in standard too, like coming from League of Ireland to players who are playing for Arsenal, Liverpool, Everton, you know, the top teams in England and in Europe. It is going to be a huge step up. So I think like Avian and Maria as well, like, are well fit for that step. And then with Maria, like, I played with Maria for the last few years at Shamrock Rovers, and, you know, a really, really good centre half, really composed centre half. She obviously has the height, which is important, and then as well, she's great speed getting back and covering. So I think, like, when you look at it in terms of the depth that we do have in the squad, I think Maria is probably more likely than Avian to feature, just because of the players and the injuries we do have in the defence areas at the minute. But I think both girls would be able to put their hand up in training this week and do a job if called upon.
I think it was interesting, Maria was talking yesterday about that, you know, as you say there, that jump in standard and the jump in class. And she was saying, you know, it's so different when you're training with the squad, or you're doing, you know, the training day that came up where, you know, Carla was watching the development squad, because she was almost kind of saying in those instances, the pressure is off to a certain extent. Obviously, you want to do well and you want, you know, to make an impression, but it's a very different, you're almost trying to find your feet a little bit, and then you come into the squad and you realize like, oh, I'm actually going to be traveling to Gdansk, I'm going to be sitting on the bench or out on the pitch in the Aviva. It's a totally different mindset. But she also said that if she didn't have that experience training, that it all would have been a lot more overwhelming and a lot more difficult. In a way, that kind of feels like another reason to bring more people in and around the squad as much as possible, and not to disrupt things, obviously, but in those international windows to give them the opportunity so that when they do make the step up, yes, it's a leap. You would want it to be a leap because otherwise you'd be doing something wrong. But at the same time, there's a familiarity to your surroundings.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the importance that we speak about, like the 23s or 21s would be, or even like the home-based sessions that were in a few years ago when Vera was still here. Like I'm the same age as Maria, so she would have been involved in underage Ireland teams coming up. And the 2 years that we were under 19, she actually had a really bad injury at the time. So she struggled a lot with her knee. And because of that, like, she didn't play the last 18 months she had of underage football. So, like, she hasn't played international football since she was 18, and now she's 22. So, you know, there's a 4-year gap there where, you know, she could be getting an experience at an international level. I think that is the conversation that we do be having a lot, is just, you know, preparing her for that next step, which is now that she's in. So yeah, it's of course going to be a huge jump for her, and I can't imagine, I suppose, the nerve she'd have going in on the first day, you know, ready to train with all these sort of the superstars of Irish football. So but yeah, it's important that we do like touch on that as well, just that, you know, it would be a huge step up, especially from the part-time environment of League of Ireland to what is a full-time, very professional setup as well. So, but I think no better too than the Navy and Maria to go up and represent the league.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And hopefully we do get to see them in a green jersey over the next week, and that, you know, they put in the performances that any Irish player that puts on the green jersey is capable of, as I like to say. okay, looking at the games then, in terms of Ireland, do you expect Carla Ward to deviate much from what we saw in the French and Netherlands games? Like, obviously, very different opposition, as we have said, but that was two excellent performances from the team. And Aoife Mannion talked about it yesterday, that, you know, the two things that Carla Ward has really been drilling into the team is a lack of complacency. So not to just expect that we're going to get those results again, but also consistency, which you would think, if she's calling for consistency, that would indicate that it's likely to be a consistent enough team and approach from her side.
Yeah, I would hope that the shape changes a little bit. I think personnel can stay the same for the most part. But I think in terms of just how we set up, I think it can be a little bit different. I think going with the five would be a bit too sort of pessimistic about how we're going to approach the game, and a bit negative. So I think we could afford to go to the four at the back, and, you know, to play some wide players. As I said, Poland are going to be weak in those wide areas. So I think if you're looking at the likes of Emily Murphy, like, she's been in more of a central role with Caruso the last few games, I think you could maybe put her out wide, and then maybe put Abby Larkin on the other side, who we haven't seen as much of. So I'm not sure what Carla's approach would be there. But for me, like, I think, like, Abby's been one of the most informed players in the squad. So I would like to see her get, you know, a start in at least one of these games, and, you know, to go and show herself. Because I think it is tough, like, when you're coming on for 10, 15 minutes against the likes of France and Netherlands, like, how difficult it is to sort of prove yourself and to, you know, get a place in the team in those 15 minutes when you're just trying to get your feet against, like, as we've talked about, a top side. So, yeah, I think we could maybe put the three forwards up there with Cruz in the middle, and as I said, keep that width and get balls into the box. And then we can keep the same in terms of, I suppose, it'll flip to maybe back four. I know Chloe Mustaki had a bit of a knock as well with Farris. So just be interesting to see, I suppose, what Carla does do. But I think for me to look at maybe having that four, and then the balance, maybe you could have two sitting in midfield as well to provide a bit of cover if that was something that Carla was worried about, maybe getting caught. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what she does. Poland against France and Netherlands opted with like a 4-2-3-1. So I think we kind of match them in that. So it'll be very interesting to see if we can go toe to toe with them and how we fare.
Do you think we can go toe to toe with them?
100%, yeah. But I think this is the game where now we can go for it. Like we spoke about it when the groupings first came out and we seen the group. Like these are the two games that the girls would have had to target and say, right, if we want to put ourselves in the best position to qualify for Brazil in next year, like these are the two games that we have to go and get 4 points from. Poland shook it up a bit by getting that draw against the Dutch, but I think we're more than capable of going toe-to-toe with them. And you know, even like we're looking if we can beat them or get a draw maybe away from home and then bring a point back to the Aviva, I think that's going to be huge for the confidence of the girls as well, because it's going to be a tough place to go. I don't think actually I can't remember that, like I don't think Poland is a team that we've really played that often in the last few years. You know, you usually get drawn with the same teams.
Yeah.
We've played France like a million times.
I was going to say, I'm sorry to get very used to the French team.
Yeah. I think 100% we can go toe-to-toe, try to get 4 points from this and really set ourselves up for in the best position possible, really heading into the last two games in June.
So we obviously had Emily Murphy in the last window as being, I don't want to say a breakthrough player, but I think Aoife Mannion put it kind of well yesterday when it was almost like her kind of come to stage moment. You know, she announced herself in a way we perhaps hadn't seen from her before, but which had been touted from since she was called up. I think she had her first competitive start against France. She played in a friendly before that, but I think it was her first competitive start against France in Metz, the last time we had France in Group A. And I remember that game, and she was pulled off at halftime, and it was obviously incredibly disappointing from her, but because she had been with Chelsea and, you know, played over in the States, I think there had been a lot of noise around the potential that she would have. Now she's obviously playing very consistent football with Newcastle. She seems to have really found her feet over here, was excellent in the two games. Do you think we can get another level out of her? You know, I remember saying after the France game that I would have loved to have seen her every time she made one of those brilliant runs up the pitch. And instead of almost kind of hesitating and looking around to see if Katie or Denise was coming off her shoulder for support, she just kept going because we know she has that in her locker. And then she did do that against the Dutch. So do you think that there's something more that we can unlock with her?
100%. Like, I think she's still a young player. I think she's maybe 23 or 24 maybe. So yeah, definitely a lot that, like, I know that she'll be able to improve on, even though she is coming into herself as a starter in this team. And, you know, once you do announce yourself on the international stage, like she has done in the last two games, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we've seen her maybe move on in our club career as well, maybe to a WSL level. Like, I don't see any reason why not. The season she's had with Newcastle, you know, once you can add goals to your name and, you know, cement yourself as, you know, a goal scorer and a focal point for a team, there's no reason, I don't think, why she can't move on to that next level. I think that would definitely, you know, obviously help us as well to have another WSL representative, but it'll be a step up in, as well, in terms of the quality of the league as well. But we'll see, like, you never know, Newcastle could get promoted as well, which would be huge for her and Aoife Mannion as well. But I think 100%, as you said, like, it's that confidence of not having to check your shoulder to see if you have any support, but to actually, you know, be able to go yourself and to back yourself in those positions to be able to get a shot away or, you know, be able to get us off the pitch another few extra yards. So I think we'll see her in this Poland game, and hopefully she can provide the goods that she did in the first two games, because obviously it's going to be a different opposition as well. But I'm really excited to see her. I think those two games, you know, really showed everyone the sort of excitement level, the X factor, I suppose, that she can bring to international games. So I think all eyes will be on her now. And it's how she deals with that pressure as well. Maybe, like, you know, performing like that, it brings an expectation too. So it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, how she does against, as we've been talking about, maybe an opposition that are more like us. But I think she's been brilliant in the two games. She's been great for Newcastle this year. So it's credit to her. As you said, like, that pressure she might have had growing up you know, she mightn't have hit the heights when she was younger, but now I suppose in this, she's coming into her sort of prime years, she can push on and prove to be a top player.
Yeah, hopefully that's because I think a lot of the time as well, we constantly ask, you know, and I'm not putting this sort of pressure on her to become a Katie or a Denise, but you know, where's the next Katie coming from? Where's the next Denise coming from? Or like, who's going to break through? And maybe you're looking at the league or people who haven't got a call up yet or people that potentially could qualify for Ireland. And I suppose you don't always expect it to come from within your ranks or just for a younger player to develop a little bit and get a bit more game time under their belt. And all of a sudden, they're the one that, you know, is making a massive mark on a team. So if anyone else in the squad wants to do that, they're more than welcome to over these next two games. Because it would be nice to see a couple of goals scored, not from, you know, a set piece. I mean, we'll take them, obviously. We're not going to say no to them, but you know, a couple of goals from play and not from Katie, I suppose, as well, because we, as we well know, we can't rely on her forever. And Ireland and scoring goals from play, whether it's the men's or women's or anything younger than that as well, I think is something that we can struggle with at times. So now the fun part. I know you said earlier about potentially, you know, taking a point in Gdansk and then hopefully getting a win in the Aviva. But if you were to nail your colours to the mast, we will have another podcast in between the game away and the home game. So I'll only ask you for the away game first, but in terms of that game, what's your prediction?
I think I'd go with a 1-1. And I think we definitely take that coming back to the Aviva, and then beat them in the Aviva, hopefully. But I'll save my second prediction for maybe after seeing the first game. But no, like I don't think a loss isn't acceptable in the away game. Like I'd really want them to push on and get something from the game. I think it's important that we do bring something back to the Aviva, you know, so really create an atmosphere and, you know, a fortress when we are there. Hopefully we can get a good crowd too. It's huge, obviously, that the girls are playing in Lansdowne Road again. I think even in terms of growing the game here, it's a great opportunity. Like it's Saturday at like 3 o'clock, so it's like prime time for people to get out, for families to get in, for kids to get in. So I think it's going to be really exciting, but I think it'll be made an even bigger spectacle if, you know, we've won away from home or we've drawn away from home, and you know, it'll make this game even bigger that if we can get the 4 points, you know, it nearly cements that third place spot, unless obviously either team can grab something off France or Netherlands. But I think more than likely, like these two games are going to be our most important. So I think getting something from both, and starting next week when we go to Poland, I think we need to bring something back to the Aviva and bring a pointer at least.
Yeah, and even on that consistency thing that Aoife Mannion said that Carlo Ward's trying to drill into them at the moment, I would love to see, you know, us as well not falling into our old habits of letting a goal in either side of half time or, you know, just like simple things that were slowly becoming habits of the team that I think we're definitely getting better at not letting happen. But for me, that would be obviously the points are the main thing. But for me, that would be close to as important going into the final two games against France and Netherlands. And also for whatever playoff we do end up playing, because I can't go through that, the Welsh experience again.
No.
But yeah, as you
That's
say, the home game. Brilliant time. I went to, I'm pretty sure it was the Northern Ireland game, and it was the first ever time that we had played in the Aviva, and it was also a afternoon kickoff, and obviously it was a historic day anyways, so the atmosphere was great, but it does really make a difference when it's, you know, middle of the day. Hopefully sun will be shining. Not that it is today by any means, but hopefully next week sun is shining, some good football. But also importantly, like really exciting football in terms of our future. You know, I think it's very easy because the World Cup is a year away to, and because we have a playoff guaranteed to actually forget how important these games are for the qualification process, and how much easier we could make things for ourselves. by getting that third spot, as you said, rather than the fourth spot. So yeah, brilliant day out. Pretty sure tickets are still on sale. If anyone is going to Gdansk, I'm very, very jealous and I hope you have a great time. I made the terrible decision to book to go to Madrid next weekend, so sadly will not be in the Aviva, but if anyone knows somewhere in Madrid where I can watch the game, I look forward to dragging my very much non-footballing friends along and forcing them to, to watch it with me in 27 degree heat, I hear, so that will make a nice little change. Yeah, very different to what we're experiencing over here.
That's if you can get to the airport with all the road closures.
I know, that was the thing. I was talking to someone about it yesterday and they were like, you can borrow my bike if you want. I'm pretty sure I'm flying like Ryanair, so I won't have that much luggage anyways. Yeah, actually, I saw even yesterday's press conferences were live out in Abbottstown, but I think they've changed them now to online because of the ongoing disruption to the traffic. But hopefully by next week that is all fixed and the government has come to the table with some sort of solution. And we should also quickly mention Caitlin Hayes, who helped knock Arsenal out of the FA Cup, Liverpool through, and also Arsenal beating Chelsea to go into the next round of the Champions League. So lots of exciting things happening for Irish players as well. I'm pretty sure I saw Amber Barrett scored as well in the last week or so again. So lots of good things happening for Irish players. Well, the Arsenal one is maybe a little bit, you know, being knocked out, but we'll take the Champions League, as I keep saying on the men's side as well. I'll take the league and the Champions League.
It'd be typical Arsenal fashion for, you know, both sides to come away at the season with no trophies after, you know, the season that they've had. But no, I think you're right. I think if Arsenal are going to win any trophy on the women's side, I think they have that. It's something about the Champions League that seems to just click for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Touch wood now. Touch wood. That's where we go. That's what I said last year as well on the men's side. And I remember I watched the second leg of the PSG game in Paris. And I remember sitting in a bar. I was by myself because my mom and my brother wanted to go read a book or do something artistic. And I was surrounded by PSG fans. And it was just me sitting in the corner kind of like pretending not to like cheer or react when anything went for or against Arsenal. Obviously, it went very much against in the end. But yeah. Okay, Scarlett, thank you very much. We will have another podcast for you next week in between the two games. We'll look back on the result in Gdansk, hopefully a good result, and also look ahead to the Aviva. And we may even have a certain Miss Karen back with us, or should I say Mrs. these days. But yeah, it'll be an interesting couple of days. The nerves are starting to build, I won't lie, but hopefully it all goes well. The Koi Gig podcast on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all again very, very soon.
The Koi Gig pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.